Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Well, hello, Dr. Art.
Hello, Dr. Chris. Good to be with you again.
You too. And hello out there in radio land and television land and whatever land. So happy to be doing another show. And we have a really special guest tonight. We're really excited. She's from across the pond in Scotland. And it's pretty exciting that we can have people from all over the world on our show, isn't it?
It really is. This idea that we have global reach now is just very, it's awe-inspiring to me that we can do that right here from our little living rooms, you know.
I know. It's amazing. Well, if you aren't familiar with our show, I'm Dr. Chris. This is Dr. Art. And we are New Reality Solutions. And we started this show because for the past 2 years, a lot of people are suffering from stress, PTSD. The whole situation in the world has really put people over the top in terms of their ability to cope. There's an increase in all kinds of problems in families, and people are developing anxiety problems, stress problems that really are testing them to the max. So we decided that we could only help a certain number of people one-on-one in our practices. But with this show, we can provide free solutions that you can do at home and really make a difference to a lot more people. So that's our real goal. Our mission is to provide solutions for people. And that's why we're called New Reality Solutions. So, Dr. Art, anything you want to say?
No, I just think we've been at this over 6 months now, and I think we're getting better at it. And we have some fabulous guests that we interview, including the one today. And so I can't wait to, I'll look forward to all of our shows. I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Yes, absolutely. So I want you to know that if you're new to our show, you can call in. And the number for calling in is direct in the United States, 1-888-627-6008. And if you're outside the US, it would be 1-323-744-4831. If you enjoy this show and you get benefit out of it, we would appreciate very much if you would consider being a subscriber. And I'm going to show you how you can do that on our show page. You can just click here, and with any amount that you feel you'd like to donate, it helps us to help others and to keep the lights on. So that's our one request. And we want to really thank the people that are already our subscribers. You really are a blessing to us, and we're so grateful. And you're helping a lot of people by doing that. So, Dr. Art, I want to hear your tip of the week. I always look forward to it.
Okay, the tip of the week today, in keeping with our one word kind of description, this is a four-letter word, and it is unexpectedly, maybe, it is love, L-O-V-E. And I want to just briefly cover a book by Dr. Gary Chapman called The Five Love Languages, because I'd like for you to get a better idea about how you like to have someone express their love to you, and also make you aware of the fact that the people you love may not like to hear, feel, experience love the same way you do. So if you take a look at the five real quick, identify the one that you like the most, and there may be a hierarchy involved. And also, maybe a nice discussion with somebody that you love and say, how do you feel love from me? You know, how to do that. So the first one is that you say words of love. These are affirmations speaking your love to them. That's the auditory channel. Second one is you devote quality time to these people. This is the kinesthetic, that you do things with them. You plan events that they might enjoy and be together in that. Third one is you give them gifts. That's a visual thing that people can see. Oh, you brought me flowers or candy or a trip to the moon or whatever it might be
Elon Musk. Get me to the moon.
The fourth one is that you do acts of service. And this is a visual thing. People can see that you're under the sink repairing the disposal or you're fixing the car, or you're raking the yard, or whatever it is that you might do, that they would see that as an act of service. And the fifth one is physical touch. That is a kinesthetic, where they like to be hugged and snuggled and kissed and caressed and whatever. So we all have one or more of these that are expressed the way we like to feel and experience love. And that may not be the same way that the person that you would like to express your love to. So please look those over. Words of love, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. If you hit those five, you're probably going to really convince them that you really do love them.
Well, that's awesome. And Dr. Art, would we have a handout for that so that people don't, because that went by pretty fast.
Well, it did, yes. And we do have a handout for that.
Okay, excellent. Right. So if you would like a list that Dr. Art gave, just send an email to contact.nrshow@gmail.com.
And if you really want to get in depth on it, take a look at The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. It's a fabulous book.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, awesome. So now we come to one of our favorite times, which is welcoming our guest. And I'm going to read her bio. It's quite impressive, and she's a very impressive lady. And Geraldine is a 25 years in the same career within the food retail industry. Our guest decided to take her life in a very different direction, and a desire to give back and help people become her driving force. Almost 13 years ago, she began her personal development journey to upgrade her mindset and her skill set, learning to release the mental and emotional conditioning that was holding her back. Geraldine Mayer is a doting mom of 27 years and loving wife of 33 years, and now a best-selling author of books on self-help, perspective, awareness, personal development, along with how-to reference manuals. She's authored 4 published books, including an Amazon number one bestseller, and as a successful businesswoman has run her own companies in the wellness industry. As a freelance writer, she has published articles in the Far East, Africa, and the UK. And as a sought-after speaker, she has delivered keynote speeches and been a guest on many podcasts in the US and the UK. Retrained as a fully qualified complementary therapist, she holds diplomas in counseling and psychology and has offered talking therapies to clients over many years, helping them to overcome personal challenges. And you're going to love her story. Welcome, Geraldine.
Thank you very much, Dr. Christina. That was a wonderful introduction. Thank you. But greatly appreciated. It's an honor to be with both of you.
Awesome. Well, let's get started. You know, your story is so inspiring because you rose above what other people thought was your station in life. And I know in the, if I may say, in the whole UK culture, station and caste system has been there for a very long time.
A very long time.
So you don't rise above. I mean, anybody who's watched Downton Abbey, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Exactly. No, much has changed.
Yes, I know. So maybe you could talk about your early conditioning and what happened that made you leave your career, start over? You know, tell us your story.
Sure. I come from a very humble background. I was raised in a working class family. I'm the youngest daughter of three. And being in that environment, you don't realise it when you're an infant and a young adult, because of the environment that you are enmeshed within and the people around you who are exactly the same as you, who believe the same things that you do, who have the same value set that you do. And it, you grow up into an environment where you start to believe that it's the norm. It is how it is meant to be. Yeah. And when you're in that, when that happens to you, you will ultimately settle for a glass ceiling that someone else has placed onto you unconditionally. They don't know they're doing it, because we're all conditioned, including your peers. And they are trying to do the best they can with what they have at that particular time. Now, obviously, my parents were born in the 1930s. They've came through the Depression. They've been very thrifty and very careful with their money, and the way that they've been raised, it's always kind of cut your cloth accordingly. Money doesn't grow on trees. I mean, a lot of people are very familiar with these sayings. Mm-hmm. And when somebody does that over and over and over and over again, you accept it as your own truth. You take it on board as your own truth. And then you start to live that truth. And because the tribe that surrounds you have been conditioned the same way, they actually support a thought pattern that you already have. So you're unaware of any alternative, because everybody else is singing from the same hymn sheet. Now, if you'll pardon the pun, but when you grow up and you realise that, because of the way I was raised, I believed that when I left school, I was raised to get a job. Happiness wasn't an option here. We're not looking for a dream. We're not following a passion. We're getting an education, whatever that looks like, because at this point, it doesn't really matter. We come out of school. We don't go on to further education because it's not in the narrative. Okay, we don't have the money for it, and it's not something that's discussed. So when your formal education ends at sort of 18 years, that's it. After that, now we're looking for somebody to become independent of the parents. It doesn't really matter how you join the dots, as long as you're making a wage and you're basically out there doing something from sort of 9 to 5, right? Mm-hmm. And that's it. That was my story. That was my expectation. Mm-hmm. And that is the road that I traveled. That is what it looked like for me. And it wasn't until I was in my very late 30s, after working 25 years in supermarket chains, because again, minimum wage, I believe that was the only skill set that I had. I think you fall into something when you think that way, and then you get used to, again, the environment that you're in, and you don't stretch yourself to become anything more. You just become conditioned to think that this is it, this is all there is, this is what I can do, this is what I'm good at. There's no point looking for anything else because I don't have a skill set for anything else. And that's the self-talk that's going on inside your head continuously, because you've been taught to believe that people who stretch and become exceptional human beings are some special in some kind of way. You weren't born into that. You're not from an affluent background. You don't have the education. I mean, the list is long, it goes on forever. It's every excuse in the book. And so you never push yourself because you don't believe that you fit there. So you conform to fit into what you believe your peers expect from you. And that's what my life became. It became days that just ran into each other with very, very little diversity or disparity. It was always the same. Every day looked like the last one. I never thought that there was going to be any change. I believed after probably about 20 years that my whole life was going to look like this, that there was going to be no change. And I'd probably do that till I retired, and that would be it. And then after that, well, you die, and that's it. And I remember reaching a point where I used to think there must be more than this. There has to be more than this. This can't be it. And it was really my husband that started the wheels turning, because he left the corporate world round about the time that I'd been employed for about 20 years. And he went out on his own and became a business coach and a business builder. And because of all the things that he was learning and the people that he was interacting with, he bought a franchise initially to get started. And one of the things that they taught was a whole lot of personal development in order to understand the buying process, the psychology of buying, all this kind of stuff. Things that we had never, ever even heard of. Mm. And that was what started the wheel turning, because he started to share books with me, like Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of... You know, and The Secret, and The Secret, and Brian Tracy, Eat That Frog, and the list goes on. That was at the very beginning, and Andy Robbins was in there at the very beginning as well. So, of course, as soon as we started to learn some of this stuff, and we were just scraping the surface at this point, it was like light bulbs going off all over the place. And I was like, geez, how did I manage to get to like 40 years of age and not know any of this? Okay. It's like, it's mind-boggling to me now. So he shared all that with me. I started on my own personal development journey, and I became completely obsessed with it. Not from a bad place, but because I suddenly realized just how much information I was capable of absorbing. I didn't actually realize just how much potential I actually had until I started to learn all these things that other people had already discovered. And then I was reading all the words, watching the podcast, listening to YouTube videos. And it was like every day I was like a sponge, more and more and more and more. And of course, it's like a rabbit hole, isn't it? Because as soon as you start on that journey, because of the way that the algorithms run on social media and on YouTube, it kept giving me more and more suggestions, what to read, what to watch, what to listen to. And of course, I was like, I didn't have enough hours in the day to check all this stuff out. So eventually I managed to narrow it down to, you know, maybe about 10. And these were people that I really loved the stuff that they were producing. And I watched them multiple times, the same thing over and over and over again, because I was starting to understand that it was the power of repetition that caused lasting change. So that's where it started. And then, of course, when I was in the supermarket, because I'd been exposed to this, I thought, I'm going to stretch myself that wee bit more. And I decided to go for a position in human resources, a management training program. Now, at this point, you have to understand, I've done 20 plus years in probably every department you could have in a supermarket. I've done them all, right up to management level. And I thought, this is the time to do this. It's a transferable skill. I could probably move away from food retail and I could go somewhere else with more potential, you know, that I could get to a higher level, because I was ready then. I was passionate, I was ready, and I was hungry for it. So, of course, when I approached my manager, who had to give me approval to go onto the course, he told me that I wasn't intelligent enough for this position. I wasn't demure enough for this position. I was a Punto and I was trying to be a Ferrari. And, you know, let that sink in for a minute, Geraldine, because who do you think you are? You can't do this. This is for people that are on a far higher pay grade than you are. Now, you have to appreciate that this was probably about 15 years ago. And I think if you said that in the current timeline now, I don't know what would happen to you, but it's certainly not, it's not what I would call a leader or anybody that's any kind of forward-thinking individual. So clearly I was crushed at this point. I'd reached the point where he wouldn't allow me to go any further.
Geraldine, so, if I could,
please.
I'm always curious about turning points. You were blessed with a catalyst in your life, your husband, who sort of lit the fire. And for some people, when the winds of change blow, it blows the fire out. In your case, it just fanned the fire higher, you know. What would you advise somebody who's stuck where you were and doesn't have a catalyst? What should they do? What could they do that would begin to put them on the path that you got onto, which is fabulous?
Well, obviously, hopefully listening to this so I can give some tips here. I think the most important thing is when you hit a bump in the road and you realize that at this point you have a choice. Mm-hmm. So you can either settle, you can conform, and you can try and continue to be a square peg in a round hole because you think that that's all it's ever going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Or at this point, you can actually use something that we all now have at our fingertips, which is the power of choice through the internet. And you can start to search and source what I did. I mean, I was fortunate, as you say, Dr. Art, because it was handed to me by Derek. Mm-hmm. But for people that don't have that person, that one special person to guide them, or I tend to find sometimes there's a lot of people around you. When you're really ready to change and you want to make the jump, the people that you want to support you will be the very ones that try to stop you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because they don't understand your journey. They don't know how you feel and they don't understand that you've reached your limit. And sometimes you've got to get as low as I got to breaking point where you no longer have a choice and you are absolutely empowered for the hunt for better. And you've no longer got anything impeding you in your way. So as far as I'm concerned, the only way that you can actually start to improve your life is to educate yourself in the power of your mind, your potential, use your skills and your talents, and really dig in deep and ask yourself a very strong personal why, because the whys are the things that drive you. And if you can find out why you're no longer prepared to accept that, and you must have an alternative. When the road forks, you're going to go the way that's less traveled, because you know that if you keep going the same way, you're going to get the same results.
The same thing.
Nothing's going to change, and that's insanity. We all know that.
Sure.
So to me, that's if it was somebody that was just starting out their journey and they've not been exposed to any of this, you need to get a hold of books and material and free resources like you have on your websites, and educate yourself on exactly what it is that you believe, and remember that someone else wrote the program for that. It wasn't you. And you can pick and choose your belief systems that serve you, the ones that are hampering you, and you can release them from your consciousness through repetitive action and from reading material like me. The light bulbs will start going off. You will realize you have lived in a cocoon half of your life, and you will start to explore alternative paths that are going to lead you to something that you don't even have a vision for yet.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that really stirs you. I mean, see if you start to get hair standing up in the back of your neck, and that was happening to me on a daily basis. Then you know you've found something, and you need to pursue that with everything that you have to find out where it's going to take you, because it's going to take you places that will astound you. And the people you will meet on the journey, when you raise your vibration to that level, they are going to assist you to get to where it is that you're trying to go. It's a constant climb with many, many summits. And when you get there, you celebrate the win. And because you're so fired up, you're looking for the next summit and the next one and the next one and the next one. And with everyone builds a confidence and a momentum that you didn't even know you had. And once you realize the power that resides within you, there's nothing, nothing of this world that can stop you.
That's great.
Nothing. Not negative words. Not people that want to hamper your growth. Not the naysayers. They can throw everything they've got at you and you'll just be like, yeah. Doesn't matter. Give it,
wow.
Bring it on. Give me your best shot. Nothing's going to make me quit now. And yourself that the more times you overcome a challenge, the more you realize what you can actually do. As soon as another challenge hits you, you think, well, I've overcame that and this is how I've done it. So now I know I've got the capacity to do it again. And you always grow in the difficult times. I mean, you can build that level of tenacity and integrity and keep going because you know you're worth so much more than you were ever taught.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sky's the limit. Sky's the limit.
And what you're saying is so powerful. I you know, what's really amazing is how much you were in a rut, how much you were surrounded by this paradigm that wasn't who you really were.
Yeah.
And as Dr. Art pointed out, you know, what was the turning point, and you so passionately talked about that. What I say to my clients when they're going for a goal is that you're trying to, as you said, raise your vibration to a new level, raise your energy, raise yourself up and go for more. And the problem is that as you go for more, everything that is not that is going to come up to be cleansed. Everything, whether it's the people around you, and sometimes you have to let go of relationships, and that's
absolutely
very hard, whether it's the job that you have, like you, whether it's having to move. I mean, there are so many things. And then there's the self-sabotage, which
yes.
are the words in your head
that's
that
a
you're
big
telling
one.
Yourself. Mm-hmm. And so what did you do? How did you learn to stay focused on where you wanted to go? How can our listeners have a way of passing that? Because when the stuff comes up is when people quit.
Sure. Yep. And I've been there myself many times. I think what people need to understand is that failure and disappointment is a part of this process.
Mm.
And as soon as you accept that you are going to come across points where you are going to feel like quitting, it's going to be part of the narrative. You're going to want to try to slide back into what you're trying to escape from because you are so deeply rooted and conditioned to be a certain way, depending how long it's been in there for. It's going to take some level of commitment and discipline to get beyond that. And I'm very much a firm believer that people do things and they say that they're interested and they get very hyped up when they listen to programs like this and they're all gung-ho and they want to just get on and get it done. But the problem is when you're interested in something, you will only do the minimum requirement of what is necessary and you will slide back into old habitual patterns. When you are committed because you are no longer prepared to accept the status quo, you will do whatever it takes. Even if there's disappointments, even if there's failure, because you will come to the point where you will start to use those turning points and tests as bricks to build a foundation to get you to the next level. Nothing will stop you. If you fall down 8 times, you're going to have to be prepared to get up 9. And the problem, as you said, Dr. Christina, when you fail several times when you're trying to achieve something, those people that are surrounding you, they're the ones that are going to say, maybe you should not do this anymore. Maybe you should quit. Maybe you should go and see if they'll give you your old job back. Because trust me, right? quite a few people said that to me. Oh. You know, I mean, what are you doing this for? Why are you going back to college at 44? Who does that? Why are you giving up a full-time job? That's absolutely insane. And, you know, sometimes when you realize that there's more waiting for you and you know you've got hidden talents that you need to express, it's at that point that you're prepared to jump. There's no runway in sight, but you just trust that your wings are going to open and carry you to the destination that you're aiming for, because something is pulling you and it's called your passion. And when you find it, there's nothing. I mean, I've been motivated before and people say, oh, you know, you need to be motivated. Motivation is the thing. It's actually not, because motivation requires you to push yourself or other people to push you to make sure you complete the task. But if you're passionate about something that you're desperate to get out into the world, the passion will pull you every moment of every day. I have sat in front of a computer after doing a full day's work as a therapist for hours and hours and hours, writing on a computer, writing out books and blogs and heaven only knows what else. And I have never felt tired for a moment. I've gone to bed and slept for 4 or 5 hours and I've got up as fresh as a daisy the next day because I've got so much I want to say, I can't wait to say it. Now, I mean, I know that was a long-winded answer, but my point here is, if you're stuck in a rut and you're very unhappy, you need to find out what it is that you were born into this world to express in abundance. Sometimes that takes a wee while. It took me 44 years. This isn't a 5-minute job. But once you discover what it is and you surround yourself with the right tribe of people who want you to win as much as they want to win for you, it's a game changer. You can't be dismayed by failure. You know, I didn't win the job contract. I didn't, you know, it didn't work out the way I wanted. I didn't get the interview. I had to let go of that friend. You could go on and on. It's the universe telling you you've got to go a certain way and you've got to listen to it, because if you don't listen to it, it's going to keep showing up until you do. I found that with me. Every time I said no, universe says yes. Okay, until I say okay, yes. Okay, I'm going to do this because it's not going to go away until I do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are different ways that people show up to steal dreams. There's somebody, a client of mine, who whenever she is excelling, her significant other all of a sudden gets depressed about how his life is not going well and squelches her excitement. Like, she'll come home and she'll say, hey, you know, this happened. And he'll say, oh, that's nice. Well, guess what happened to me, you know, and why aren't I where I want to be? And it's such a, you know, there are subtle ways that people can tear you down. Yeah. And so the hardest part, I think, for people is that who you surround yourself with, who you associate yourself with. I think that really is so vital. And you know, as you said, you came from this family that had this expectation for you and you expanded to this. Yeah. And it was, well, I, you know, let me ask you, did your family try to pull you down?
We had the, you're giving up a full-time job kind of thing to go back to college. So that was, there was some slight undertones in there, because it's not something that they would have considered doing. And I think because obviously we've all been raised the same way, by the time you've gotten 4 decades into your life, it's probably not something you ought to be thinking about. You know, because you spent 25 years sort of building this career, regardless of what it looks like. So why do we want to change that now? Why don't we just sort of go with the flow. I wouldn't have said they were particularly negative, no. And they weren't, they didn't try to put me off. I mean, yeah, I mean, there was a couple of things, you know, comments, like you say, just some wee things. But at that point, I'd reached the decision inside my own head and inside my own heart. So it wasn't going to change the direction that I was choosing to go in. It was really more, there has been quite a lot of people that I've known and sometimes it's not even so much what they say, it's what they don't say, if this makes sense. So yeah. It's like, it's almost like the elephant in the room that nobody talks about. Okay, I mean, do you know what I mean when I say that? So it's almost like you don't really want to talk about it too much in case you get the response that your client's got from the husband, you know. So and that's actually not good either, because now you're shrinking again to fit some other kind of narrative that's not actually allowing you to express your authenticity. Do you know what I mean? You're not being authentic. You're dimming your light so that you don't make other people feel bad, because theirs isn't very bright to begin with.
Exactly.
so you don't want to sound like, and again, I think a lot of this comes from my conditioning. You don't want to sound as if you're being arrogant or brassish or, you know, big-headed. You know, so there's a whole lot of stuff going on round about that as well, where you're trying to be genuine and honest, but you're sort of, you're taming it down a wee bit, because you don't want to make people think you're just trying to blow yourself up all over the place. So there's a fine balance. Although what I did find is, when you speak to people who are on the same elevation as yourself, right, that doesn't happen, because they're actually really interested in what you have to say, and they get excited that you actually managed to make something work, and they want to celebrate that with you. Whereas when you're sharing this information with people that maybe haven't really done very much or don't really understand your journey, they don't really get it, and they'll say things like, well, I can't come to the event because it's not really my thing, right? I mean, I don't really understand that concept at all, because if somebody's your friend, regardless of whether it's your thing or not, you would think they would want to support you, so is that whatever path you've chosen to go down, they want to be a part of that, and they want to be a cheerleader for you. So, yeah, I mean, and it's not that I have anything against anybody that is like that, because I now understand, because of what I know and because of the neuroscience of the mind and the way people think and how they're conditioned, it's not my job to fix anybody. And I can love somebody just as they are, just the way they are, without having any desire to change them. Because I've got to appreciate that even though I know all this stuff, they maybe don't, and they're not interested in stepping out of the matrix and discovering what lies beyond that. They're quite happy in their square peg round hole scenario, and they don't have any desire for that level of expansion. It just isn't their time. But it's not, I'm not going to sit and judge them because they're not, you know, they're not all standing at the side with their pom-poms giving it, you know, because I'm doing something and they're not. That doesn't matter. I can still love people. I can choose to spend less time with certain people if I feel that they're not helping me. But I don't think that you always have to cut people out entirely. I think you have to be able to see their own story behind the mask that they're wearing from their own conditioning, and then just appreciate that although you're at a different stage in your own personal growth, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with them. They just haven't found their path yet, and maybe my path will never be their path. That's the way I see it. That's how I understand the psychology of the mind now, because some people simply don't have the courage to be something other than what they actually are now. It's too scary. The fear of stepping away from the norm or the familiar. It's less fearful to stay in a situation, even if they're unhappy in it, than it is to take the steps required. And it does take work, a lot of personal work, to get them to the point where they can say to themselves, is this what was on the other side of the door that I didn't know was there? Mm-hmm. And having the courage to walk through the door. And like we said earlier, regardless of the disappointments, the failures, the process that you'll have to go through, the things that you'll have to let go of. Some people are just not ready for that, and they might never be.
Yeah. Now, let's just say, for example, that I purchased and read your latest book. What would you like for me to go away from that experience with? What's the real message in there that you want them to have?
I would like you to understand how learning and understanding material with regards to conditioning, mm-hmm. how it can alter your thought state. And when you change your thoughts, you change your life.
Change your life.
Yeah. You change your life. And people don't understand the power of thoughts. People talk about affirmations, and they talk about saying things like in the now, in the present tense, in the I am statements. But what they don't understand is, for the majority of the day, they're doing affirmations all the time to themselves, and they're usually not good inside it. Okay, which is neutralizing any work that they are attempting to do for 10 minutes in the morning to change and alter the switch. But if you don't have the information in your hands to understand why it's not working for you, you'll never get beyond it. And you'll become one of those people that says things like, meditation doesn't work. The law of attraction doesn't work. Changing your thoughts doesn't work. You'll get all that bite back and excuses, because people don't understand the amount of time that you have to do it for, and it needs to be more than 30 days of repetitive action for you even to start the process within your own brain for a new electrical pathway to begin to grow in there, to join, to fuse, to wire and fire. And to get to the point where when something happens like it did in the past, you will automatically flick the switch and you'll be able to deflect over to the new pattern. But it's like everything else with learning things. People do it for 2 weeks, and when it doesn't change, it doesn't work. So then they go back. So then they go back to what they were doing, even though they hate it. And the problem is, people... reading this book, Dr. Art, explains in detail why you need to do things over and over again. And frankly, for the rest of your life, you will have to do this. This becomes something that you do, like brushing your teeth in the morning. This isn't something that's negotiable. I'll do it for a few days and we'll see what happens.
See it work.
You're trying to change decades of programming. You're not going to do it in 5 minutes. It's going to take you some time. I've been doing this to give the listeners a time frame, and I'm not saying it's going to take you this long, because it didn't take me this long, because a lot happened in that time. But I've been at this now for more than a decade, because I'm 53 now. I've been at this for more than a decade. But as I said before, it's an exciting journey. It's not a chore. It doesn't feel like a job. I just know there's so much more for me to discover. And I wrote the book in simple language, specifically in simple language, because a lot of the stuff that I read, I understood that if it's in words or it's in too sciencey language that people are not going to be able to understand, if they're at the beginning of this journey, they will not implement it, they will not get it, and they will not understand actually how easy this process is when you put it into language that people can understand. You know, I mean, it's great to read advanced material because obviously, I mean, I'm sure you're at that level, as am I, because I've been doing this for a long time. And it's easy to understand the message within the words. But if you don't know any of this and you're starting from scratch, then you need to be able to read that material and go, all right, I get it now. All right, now I see where I'm going wrong. And then I see what I have to do to change it. And that's what I hope people will take away from that book. And the reviews that I've gotten back from it so far, even from quite exceptional influencers, has been exactly that.
This is awesome.
Which is wonderful feedback for me. Because as a writer, you're always trying to improve.
Yes. Well, I see you have volume one, volume two. Is this the latest one that is the bestseller?
The bestseller was actually the purple one in the middle.
The one in the middle?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the dark blue one has just been released, but I got them round the wrong way. But again, this is the part of the disappointment, you know, sort of failure process, if you like, okay? So I wrote the purple one initially, and the top, it was called Choose to Climb, Reaching Your Personal Summit, okay? And it went to Amazon number one. However, I then wrote the green book after that, which is volume two. And then after 4 years had passed, and after I'd learned a whole lot more material and I'd done a course, a certified course in neuroscience, I realized that I hadn't given people the foundation that they would have mm-hmm. in order to understand volume one and volume two. See?
Yes, so how to incinerate beliefs that hold you back and rise from the ashes.
I realized I had to write a book that would explain in layman's terms how conditioning works, how to change it, the science of your thoughts, and how you pull it all together. Because now when you dip into the other two volumes, that have both got 100 passages in them with strategies, affirmations, and quotes to support the writing, you're going to totally get that because you're going to be able to identify in those two books what you're doing in your own life, what ones are going to resonate with you, and you're going to go, oh gosh, you know, that's me. Like there's topics called like toxic influencer. Right, that's like one of them's in there, and there's a passage about that, and it tells you what a toxic influencer is, what they do, how they behave. Now, if you are one of these people, you're going to identify yourself in that passage, and you'll already have the foundations from the first book. So you're going to go, right, that's me, I know that's me, I'm repelling people because of the behavior. I now know I'm conditioned to behave like this. And I now know how I'm going to go about reversing the pattern and changing who I am to serve people better and present my best version of myself out to the world so that I can attract better people into my life and I can lose that label. You know what I mean? And that's just one. You know, there's a whole lot of different ones in there. There's 200 of them and they'll all get different. I can't remember. There's so many.
That's
I can't
great.
Remember. I mean, there's like reflections on loss. So that's like the grief process when somebody dies in your life that matters to you and how to go through the process of grief and come out the other side and still feel that your life has value and it's worth living. Living with passion, that's like what I was telling you about, like what happened to me. So that's like identifying what it is that stirs you every morning that you can't wait to get out of bed for. The tiny voice in your head that's always saying to you, you were a great baker, why did you never do that? Why are you doing that? Why are you not doing this? And how you spend hours in your kitchen making cakes for everybody else, but you never turn it into a business. Because somewhere inside your head, You don't believe it's a possibility for you. Mm. And you talk yourself right out of it. So all of these things are all geared in such a way that you've got a whole toolbox you can dip in and out of and pull from. And maybe all of the things won't be relevant to you right now, but maybe at some point in your life they might be. So the books, the one and the two are reference manuals. I like to call them reference manuals, mm-hmm. because if something happens in your life, like an obstacle or something, there's something in there called overcoming obstacles. You go, all right, well, I've got a book that tells me about that. So I'll go look that up and I'll see what the strategy is. But then already you'll have read the first book and you'll then begin to understand. The thing is, when you read the first book, there's going to be so much information that's going to help you that if you do hit the brakes at any point or something happens to you, you're going to have so much, you're going to be equipped to be able to overcome it yourself at this point, or to be able to pull in people in your circle that you know you can trust. Whatever problem you've got, I can categorically guarantee you 110% it's happened to somebody else and there's a solution for it. So there's no point in reinventing the wheel. Don't slip into victim mindset, because that's not going to help you. I want this book to teach people that you're a warrior, and it doesn't matter what happens to you, you can overcome it. The tide always comes back. That's one of the topics in the book as well. The tide always comes back. Because it does. The good and the bad always pass. Yes. And your tide will always come back if you just hang with it long enough. Something wonderful will happen, and it may just be around the bend.
Wow. Well, you know, the amount of passion that you show and the energy that you have behind all this is phenomenal. And, you know, you're singing to the choir here, because this is what we also teach, as you know. Dr. Art is an eminent and very powerful hypnotist and master NLP practitioner. I'm an NLP practitioner and life success coach. And we embrace everything that you've said. And the thing that you said that really was so profound is that even if someone isn't super supportive, you don't necessarily have to kick them out of your life. They can be someone, you can accept them and love them and maybe spend less time. Or, you know, when I was going through therapy in my 40s and trying to deal with my relationship with my mother, and my therapist said, try to hear that everything she's saying is saying, I love you and I want the best for you.
And it probably is.
Yes. And, you know, she just didn't know how to say that. She only knew how to say what she said, which sounded like a criticism or a judgment or whatever it was. And so if you can look at the people that you love and say, this, they're doing the best they can with what they know and where they are. Yeah. Dr. Art, you've been so quiet. And Geraldine's been so passionate.
Yeah.
I know you have been aching to say something. I can feel it.
Excuse me.
Well, I was intrigued by one of the words you used is one of my favorites, and you found your tribe. And I think one of the things that if once you begin to realize there is another tribe out there that is thinking and acting the way I want to, and I have to spend more time with those people because they're the ones that are my inspiration. And I just wonder, have you found those people easily accessible, or are they hard to find? What's your experience with that?
Initially, I would have said, I wondered where they were. Because when I was starting out in the journey, I was like, oh, where are these people? Do these people even exist? I mean, I felt as if I was out on a branch all by myself for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing was when I really got comfortable with being me, that was when things started to open up for me and I started to be invited to events. Mm-hmm. To speak to people. You know, I get invited to do lunches, to be keynote speakers, invited onto podcasts and the likes. And that was really, Dr. Art, where I started to understand there was a really quite a lot of people mm-hmm. who were just like me, or even if they were sort of even just a sort of toe into the journey, sure. they were desperate to hear what someone else had to say with sure. regards to the information that they were discovering. They were at the stage that I was 10 years ago mm-hmm. and they were hungry to find out more. But with regards to what you're saying about people as well, I also got to the realization where I never let anybody decide what my mood will be. Mm. And I think that's my mood. I choose my mood,
yes,
not someone else. And I think that's a big thing for people, because so many of us have triggers that people push on every single day. And I think it's really important to get to the point where you say to yourself, if I feel really good about today and I've woken up and I'm full of gratitude for another day mm-hmm. and I've done meditation, which I strongly recommend everybody does, for at least 10 minutes, 50 minutes a day, and really gift yourself that time to take yourself out of the analytical mind and just visualize what it is that you want in your life and feel a lot of gratitude for what you have now and what it is that you're trying to attain, and then spend the rest of the day working towards that, whatever that is, small incremental steps. And realise that regardless of what's happening around about you, especially if you're not long into the journey and you're still very easily triggered by things in your environment, that's when you have to really grow awareness and say, you know, regardless of whether you're having a bad day or not, does it mean I'm going to have a bad day? And you can't take on other people's energy.
Right.
And that's a really important thing in this journey. You have to protect your energy. So regardless of whether people are gossiping about somebody or whether they've been triggered by somebody because they get cut off, you know, mm-hmm. when they were in the car, there's a whole lot of things that trigger people, and it ruins their whole day because they allow it yes. to ruin their whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And they complain about it for hours. They keep that energy alive in their space and they tell everybody else that they meet, you'll never guess what happened to me. And then they go into it in minute detail because they don't understand what they are doing with all of those thoughts and that speech. Is they are firing and wiring things into their mind, and they're bringing things in through their reticular activation system, which I know we don't have time to go into at the moment. But in short, it's the human filtration system. And they're bringing things in that support their behaviours. And then they wonder why nothing ever improves, because they are stuck in this cycle going round and round, and they never get off of it because of the way that they are behaving. And they want everybody else to change. Oh, it's something out there needs to change. Right. You know, I mean, that person did this to me and that person did that to me. And this happened to me 20 years ago, and that's why I'm the way I am. No, you're the way you are because you chose to be that. So, as we said earlier, Dr. Art, change your thoughts, change your perspective about what you view everybody else to be doing, because they've all got their own things going on. Work on yourself, always on yourself. Don't let anybody affect your mood. Stay in a high vibration. Be grateful for everything that's in your life and work towards achieving what it is that you admire in other people, or what you see through the media, or whatever that is. If that's what you want for your life, instead of suffering from jealousy, envy, bitterness, or whatever else you're telling yourself, say, how do I get from here to there? Yeah. What do I need to do? How am I going to do it? Who do I need to listen to? Who do I need to get into my tribe? And how can I make the difference? And how can I share what I'm supposed to be sharing while I'm in this place? And don't let anybody stop you.
That's good.
And with that, I hate to say it, but we are out of time.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That
we could talk all night.
I mean, we could go on all day, and you're
your enthusiasm and what you just ended with. Incredible. And so I want to bring up a picture of your free gift that you're offering to people. Let me share screens here. Just a little bit of technology magic. So this is your this URL, folks, if you're looking at the screen, is how you will get a free month special offer from Geraldine in her membership, Choose to Climb Life Without Limits. So please write this down. If you are just listening, we will have this up in the show description in the archives, but I'm going to say https://www.choosetoclimb.com/SC1M. And that's the special that she's offering, Summit Climb 1 month. So
this is Summit Club.
Yes.
And this is an online community that gives people the support that my husband also runs this with me. So you've got a whole lot of expertise coming your way from his perspective also.
Awesome.
But the good thing about it is we believe it's the missing gap for lasting change.
Awesome.
Like what Dr. Art was talking about, find your tribe. If you can't find them in the environment around you, this will give you the tribe that you need until you can find your own.
Yes, and I highly recommend, folks, that you get the series of free books that Geraldine has. So I'm going to put that up as well just one more time so you can see the books. And
You'll also get access to my Amazing Life Plan, which is an online workbook. You'll get that free when you sign up for your first month. Mm-hmm. And it's a process that you can work through and fill in, and it helps you to clarify the direction that you're going in with real tips and hints and how to get there. So
awesome.
You can make it more strategic to get yourself off the start line.
Awesome. Yeah, well, this has been such a delight. Now, audience, you can see why we were so excited to have Geraldine on. We found her, and she's very special, and we just had to have her as a guest. So we hope that you got as much from it as we did. I want to tell you about next week's show on March 4th. We'll be talking with an exciting author as well and speaker who I happen to personally know and have experience with. His name is Kevin McCarthy. Many people are feeling a bit lost. They know they have a contribution to make. They know they have gifts that can help the world, but they aren't quite sure how to put it all together into knowing their exact purpose. And Kevin says, find your purpose, find yourself, and he helps you to discover a more meaningful and powerful you in three simple steps. So he'll have a free gift too. Geraldine, thank you so, so much.
Thank you very much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I am honored to be on your show. You are doing a wonderful thing, and there needs to be so many more people just like us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and with that, we say thank you so much, and bye-bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/newrealityshow for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.